Welcome, everybody. I don't think our next speaker needs much of an introduction. Jeremy is a core Samba contributor and, of course, a big defender of open source software. So give me a hand in welcoming him. And what's new in Samba?
Thanks very much. I'm Jeremy Allison. I work for Google in their open source programs office. But I just want to say, no Google lawyers have reviewed this talk. So, you know, what terrifies me is reading in the papers the next day, you know, Google engineer says. So this is not a Google talk. This is a talk on behalf of Samba. So please don't mix the two up. That Google pay me, but most of my work I actually do for Samba. So, what I'm going to talk about is the piece of Samba that I work on the most, which is the file server, which is the piece that is most visible in Samba. There's also an Active Directory server. There's also the authentication piece. There's also increasingly legacy printing services. But the file server is mostly what people want to know about. So before I can talk about what's new and what we're doing, a lot of which is internal kinds of work, I really need to talk about how the file server is actually built internally. Oh, by the way, if you would like to ask a question, please feel free to put your hand up at any time and I can take questions. So this is kind of an overview talk, not necessarily diving into the details of all the protocols, etc. At least on the file server side, I can dive in as deeply as you would like to go. But hopefully this is a talk that's accessible to a broader audience than just SMB3 engineering geeks. Anyway, so the file server has basically three conceptual layers. There's the protocol parsing layer. The packets come in off the network, and then we have to unpack them into a set of SMB 1, 2, or 3 commands. Then we have the most complex layer inside of Samba, which is what we think of as the NTFS emulation layer. So if people here don't run Windows, which at Fosdem, there's probably quite a few people who've never run Windows. NTFS is the Windows file system, and it has a set of semantics that are very different to the standard POSIX file systems that we know and love on Linux and other Unixes. So what one of the main jobs of Samba is actually to translate the SMB requests, which are essentially NTFS semantics on the wire, into a set of things that allow POSIX to emulate NTFS. So that's the layer underneath. Then below that, the lowest layer, we have the VFS. Now, the VFS is the virtual file system interface. If you're familiar with the Linux kernel, it's very similar to that. It has a set of pluggable function calls. It's unfortunately much more complex than the Linux VFS because we have to do a lot more to emulate NTFS. But the nice thing about the VFS, because it's pluggable, you can actually write plugins to that that will talk to external file systems. So we have plugins for Ceph, we have plugins for Gluster, we have plugins for GPFS, and there are a whole host of proprietary file systems out there that also use Samba as their SMB front end and then translate using our VFS into their proprietary storage backends. We have plugins that adapt our semantics to ZFS and other advanced file systems. We have a ButterFS plugin that exposes snapshots, etc., etc. That's basically why Samba is so flexible. That's what people. That's the interface that people work on the most. Practical terms, it's nowhere near as clean as it looks, at least for the SMB1 code, which is the oldest layer of code inside Samba. And kind of in the SMB1 code, the NTFS semantics are kind of mixed in with the protocol parsing, and it's kind of ugly, and I'm busily trying to kill it. The SMB2 layers, which came later, are much, much better designed. So working on Samba, is there anyone familiar with a classic Milton Bradley game, Mousetrap? Yeah, some of the old people. yes, young people are like, what is this? Does it run on his screen? So if you're familiar with Mousetrap, it's a terrible game. I used to play it with my family and friends. And what happens is you slowly build this mousetrap with different cards, which is pretty much like building Samba. And then at some point, somebody pulls the mousetrap card, and a ball goes rolling through this increasingly Heath Robinson sequence of things. And almost invariably, somewhere along the line, the ball falls off and doesn't go where it's supposed to go, and the user says, oh, there's something wrong, to which the SAMR developers reply, there's always something wrong. So that's kind of how we see SAMR, is there are always things that we need to improve, there's always things that are broken, and we're just trying to build a better mousetrap for the user. It's not always about as successfully as the Milton Bradley game, I'm afraid. So what are we doing in SMB? Some of these things are already done, some of these things are under progress, some of these things on this list are speculative. So first of all, die SMB1, die. We really would like to remove SMB1, which is the oldest Microsoft protocol. I'll talk a little bit about that later. The VFS layer is old. It was designed in the late 90s, early 2000s. It is the POSIX of the day. It's greatly in need of modernization. So that is in progress right now. It's probably a 1 to 2 year job, but we'll get there in the end. Making SAMR more asynchronous internally and hide threading, which we need, and we use quite heavily now, but hide that under the covers for reasons, again, that I will cover later. Obviously, we need to improve our performance, and as part of that, our single server file system performance is pretty damn good. You can saturate 10 gig E with SMB3 going to SAMR on a local file system with SSDs, no problem. So that's great. What we would like to do is to get a similar level of performance with a clustered SMB solution, and that's